Beginning this Sunday, in the next following weeks, we'll have presentations during this homily time about stewardship and our opportunities to give and to participate in the life of our parish. This year, we have chosen for the theme following St. Francis, where we firmly believe that it is in giving that we receive. Now, I know every year around this time, it's customary that we go over with the minute details of the finances, something that I affectionately call the Sermon on the Amount. But at least more people here got it this Mass than any other, so I mean, I'm happy about that. But in lieu of that, we have created a video to, I guess, inform as well as to share with you the many ways in which that, in many ways in which you give, and our responsibility in using those gifts and being entrusted with that, and how people in our parish are being taken care of. And so, my friends, I ask you to sit tight for a moment to open our ears and our hearts and to see what our parishioners have to say.
Find joy in giving. Different
love. It's a place where people come back to God.
One in the name of God.
Our sign at St. Monica's is to form loving disciples who transform this world. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to make a difference in the lives and hearts of people.
Different hearts, different needs.
It's home to me.
One goal, one mission, building the kingdom of God.
I think it's a place where people feel at home, where they can find their place at the table of the Lord.
I think we really do have a spirit of all are welcome, whether you're poor, whether you're wealthy, gay, straight, divorced, widowed, you are welcome here. But to put that into action, we need volunteers, we need staff, we need facilities. And we need people to contribute.
I met so many great friends by volunteering, and now those friends are my family.
Whenever I give to St. Monica, whether it's financially or volunteering my time, I feel like I receive that back tenfold. And for me, I've experienced so many great and wonderful things here at St. Monica between the people and the ministries and the experiences that why wouldn't I give back?
Being a parent at St. Monica's is bigger than just our family. We have a community of people we can count on, and we try to do our best to support in every which way we can to protect our family, to care for our family. I think that's what God's called us to do.
Giving back makes me so happy. It gives me courage. It gives me strength. I get so much back in return that it's almost difficult to remember that I gave. And I am so grateful. I feel so blessed, and I'm joyful.
When people give a contribution to St. Monica's, ultimately and finally, it's to build up the body of Jesus Christ. We are trying our best to make disciples, not just people who receive information, but people who become disciples who then go out, not just here in St. Monica's, but out in their businesses, in their world, and make a difference, transform this world. And that all takes time, energy, money, and people to do it.
When I give my weekly check, it helps outreach, it helps healing, and it helps comforting for so many people in this community.
One of the wonderful things I feel about giving money to St. Monica's is that I know where it is going. I know it's going to be used to help other people. I know it is going to contribute to our church and to keeping our church going and to keep welcoming other people to our community.
Every ministry that I volunteered with has changed my life for the better. It opens up your heart, your mind. You see so much more in people around you.
The joys of giving back are really profound.
I personally have found it to help my prayer life, to deepen my relationship with the Lord.
When I think about why it's important to give back, I'm reminded of the words of St. Teresa of Avila, that God has no body but ours. He has no hands but ours. He has no feet but ours. And ours are the eyes of compassion that he looks out into the world with. So giving back is an essential part of continuing the work of Christ on this earth.
Pope Francis has said that we need to be men and women that bring hope to others. There are so many opportunities at St. Monica's to be able to fulfill that promise.
Just give, you know, get out there. It's fun.
If you're a person that enjoys or appreciates or participates in St. Monica in any way, I think it's a responsibility to give back.
We as Catholics, it should be a part of us. And you dig down deep enough and you find that place and you're like, wow, if I have the opportunity to bring hope to somebody, that's the best.
Just jump in. It doesn't matter what part you jump in. It doesn't matter how long you stay. Just jump in.
Become an angel. Join that core.
I am St. Monica, and I give.
I am St. Monica, and I volunteer.
I am St. Monica, and I give.
I'm St. Monica, and I volunteer.
I am St. Monica, and I give.
I am St. Monica, and I give back. Tiny part of this incredible community of faith. All of us are St. Monica's.
I am St. Monica, and I feel privileged to give.
Many of you have already received your commitment cards, and so just know that there'll be a time in October at the end of the month to write down what your commitment may be, and then also to submit that to us. Our gospel today also talks about invitation. You know, just as we were invited, I think, to discover more ways on how to be a deeper part of our community here at St. Monica's, so is God inviting us to a deeper relationship with himself. I know you don't hear that in our readings today. You know, from the first reading, it's clearly defined. You know, we're invited to the sumptuous banquet with choice wines and the best food on earth. I mean, think about that. Who wouldn't say no, right? It's not a meal that we just simply tolerate. You're like, no, this is something to be enjoyed. And Paul speaks of the great generosity that God imparts to him. Whether he is rich or whether he's poor, he feels that grace of God. And he has that beautiful line, in Christ I can do all things. In Christ we can do all things. If that's true, then why do we limit ourselves? And that's where our gospel comes in. You know, our gospel tonight is kind of a difficult reading, isn't it? You know, we have this, Jesus tells this parable of a king who throws a banquet for his son, and the invited guests don't come. Some ignore the invitation altogether and say, okay, whatever, God. Or another says, okay, well, you know, I'm just too busy. One to his farm, another to his business. And some, a smaller group, decides to kill those messengers that are inviting him to a relationship with God. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, talk about kill the messenger, you know? I mean, it's just, who would do that, right? And then what's the king's response? It gets even more absurd than that. What's the king's response? He sends soldiers to go kill them. So after this murderous rampage of justification, and then he says, whew, All right, servants, go out into the streets and invite whomever you want. Think how crazy that is, right? And so they go out into the streets, and what I love about what our Lord indicates in that parable is that they went out and they grabbed people, good and bad alike. Good and bad alike. They brought them into that hall. And then what happens? The king's inviting those guests, and then he finds that one guy. God, I hate to be that one guy. You know, to be singled out. And he asks him, why are you not in your wedding garment? And the guy is just reduced to silence. I thought about that. When was the last time that you were reduced to silence? If you're like me, it's usually for nothing really good. You know? But he was reduced to silence. And then he says to him, let's cast him off into the darkness where there is the wailing and gnashing of teeth. And for me as a priest, whenever we have a difficult reading, I always love to hear the response of the people of God. Because I say, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are saying, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's this weird, difficult read in the gospel. But my friends, I hope that you can still discern that gentle voice of God, which is the voice of love and the voice of invitation. An invitation to draw deeper into relationship with himself. You see, this parable, again, was to continue that message of what is the kingdom of God like? Now, why would Christ want to convince the people of God about the kingdom of God? I've been criticized as belaboring a point. You know, some people want to say, okay, get on with it, Father, we get it. And I'm sure, why did Jesus have to feel like he had to expound even further? What is the kingdom of God? Maybe the people were just so satisfied with an intellectual concept of the idea God that they forgot that we believe in a God that draws us to himself. A living God that wants not just pieces of ourselves, but all of us. And in that vision of love, he is jealous indeed. It's just like someone who loves you tremendously. You know, they just don't want from, you know, 3 to 3:15 because it was convenient to pencil us in. He wants it all. And that's because he loves us so much. But maybe the people were so satisfied with that idea of God that they forgot that this is the God that calls us into relationship. And maybe that was part of Christ's frustration. He's saying, God is real. God is alive. And he wants to be in relationship with you. Why are you not reaching out to God? But no, they were just satisfied. An intellectual understanding. It's like, my friends, it's like for me telling you about the sun. It doesn't change our hearts. It just maybe conjures up some memory from the past, maybe a day at the beach. But it's just, is it just that? Is that our faith? Where we have this faith where it's just this safe idea of God who wants nothing from me. It's just this safe little idea that we get to talk about in circles of friends or in churches. That little whisper of God. Or do we believe in a God that's drawing us into deeper relationship to himself? Now, what does that mean for you and I? It means that God's going to call us out on that water. That God's going to call us out in the midst of our storm, in the middle of our darkness. Whether we think we are good or bad, he still calls us and invites us. And maybe some of you were dragged into this church today by a friend. Good or bad, and yet we're here. It's that invitation to be in relationship with God. But what happens when we're just so numb to that invitation? We don't even respond at all. Or worse yet, that we just say, you know what, I'm just too busy. You know, for those of you that are parents out there, I want you to look your children in the eyes and just tell them how busy you are that I cannot make time for you. Who would do that? No one. At least I hope not. Or maybe another person says, you know, I'm just so busy. My business, God, it consumes me. Then what about relationship? Maybe we're just so busy that we don't have time for each other, let alone God. It's no wonder that 55% of all marriages fail. Maybe we're just so busy that we just find it hard to kind of connect. Have you ever been in a relationship, or maybe just new, where someone's trying to get to know you and you're trying to get to know them, and they're really nice, and for some reason, in the back of my mind, you're thinking, okay, what do you want? You know? I know that's happened to you because it happens to me, you know? Like, what do you want? You know? Like, when I meet someone and they say, oh, I work for Xerox, I'm thinking, oh, you want me to get a copy machine, or you want, you know? It's just, it's part of our human nature. We ask ourselves, like, what do you want? And maybe when it comes to our relationship with our God, maybe we perceive that He wants too much. Maybe that's why it's easier for us not even to respond. And so when the king approaches us and says, why are you here without a wedding garment? Why was this man reduced to silence? Wouldn't it be easier for him to say, look, I was invited. But why didn't he respond? Why don't we respond when God calls us? Whether it's with generosity, with our time, talent, or treasure. What stops us from being the people who we want to be? As Matthew Kelly says, what's stopping us from being the best version of ourselves? Well, my friends, once we say yes to Christ, once we accept that loving invitation to be in that deeper, committed relationship with our God, I can't describe for you that feeling of joy. Whether I'm poor or rich, my life as a priest, trust me, I don't have a lot. But I'm filled with the joy of God. That's indescribable. I think we as Catholics, we don't do enough is that we don't really share our faith. We don't share with one another, let alone a person sitting across from us in the pew, just how awesome it is to be in a relationship with God. So it's no wonder the world sees us as just being a collection of relics from the past that just need to be brushed aside. But they don't see this loving relationship that we are with our God. And so as difficult as the gospel is for us to hear at times, know this. It has nothing to do with how you perceive yourself to be good or bad. It's simply, if you hear that invitation from God, can you respond? That's what I love about our gospel. The servants went into the streets, good and bad alike, he collected them. And those who responded dined sumptuously. Probably food that they would never have been able to afford. May God be that generous to us, and may we be as generous when he calls our name, when he's calling us into service, or he's calling you to a deeper relationship with himself. As fearful as it may be, it's going to cost us a little something. But whatever it's going to cost us, I think God will repay that in abundance and overflowing. So my friends, let us respond generously, for it is only in God's generosity that you and I are here. And so in thanksgiving, let us stand and continue our prayer.